Hi, I'm Yagi. I'm an entrepreneur and success coach who wants it all. Family, luxury, career, and the freedom to do whatever I want, whenever I want. And I'll do whatever it takes to get there. I created the Yagi Project to document my journey and inspire others to do the same. My mission is to change the world by influencing and leading others to do what they love and live fulfilled lives. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Yagi Project. Thank you, Jane, for being here as our guest today. And for those of you who are tuning in and have no idea who Jane Sanders is, please, Jane, tell us, who are you and what do you do?
Absolutely. And thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Yes, Jane Sanders, I am a master scientific hand analyst. And people think of hands, they think palm reading, but this is not palm reading. There's no predictions, nothing like that. The lines in your hands mimic the neural pathways in your brain. And it is so accurate that Forbes wrote about it. And we can go into that later, but it's very meaningful and deep information about your purpose and the gifts you have and the blind spots to take action on.
Wow, so interesting. Actually, like 2 days ago, I've never heard about this before. About 2 days ago, I was scrolling on Pinterest and some ad or something came up about it. And I was so intrigued by it, but I didn't have time to really like do my research and look into it. And then here I realize we have an expert who's going to be on our podcast. So I'm super excited to pick your brain about it. And this year, more than ever, I've been getting more into a little bit spirituality and our purpose and like what the universe or God kind of has plans for us. So it's very interesting to talk about all of that with you, but intrigued. How did you get into this? Because it is not like a regular career people talk about or tell their kids to get into, you know? So how did you get started in this line of work?
Not at all. And most people haven't heard of it. I had neither, but I was literally looking for my purpose because I have a corporate background and an MBA, 3 careers prior to this, but each one I would hit a point, you know, just meh, was bored, unfulfilled. And I really felt I was not in alignment with my purpose and that everybody has an innate purpose and I didn't know what mine was. So I was looking for that and Googled.
So do you think we're born with one specific purpose?
As a matter of fact, I do. But the purpose that comes from a scientific hand analysis is not a job description. It's the concept behind your ideal work, and everybody has options. And now that I'm so experienced in it, I do believe that purpose work evolves over time. So it changes a little bit, not the purpose itself, but how we express it.
Wow.
So anyway, that's why I got into it, because I was looking for my purpose and I was Googling how do I find my life purpose and went down a couple of wrong paths, but then ran across a headline for a teleseminar and it said, discover your innate life purpose. And I was like, oh, perfect. And I clicked on it and the first words I saw were hand analysis. And like most people, I thought palm reading. I'm like, that's fun. There are good palm readers, but it's not going to give me what I need. And then I saw the word scientific. So I held on to that and let that one word appease my anal MBA skepticism and listened to that teleseminar. And you know what? It really made sense. And I really wanted my purpose. So I had a hand analysis done. And I mean, it just explained so much of my life and why that worked, but that didn't, and why I liked that, but I didn't like that. And it just made so much sense. And, you know, even things I'd never thought of resonated. I knew it was right. And I didn't know how to express my purpose yet, but I knew if I took action on the information that I really believed that I would find my way. And that's exactly what happened.
So what happened? What did you discover your purpose is?
Well, I discovered so many things, but the main thing was I wasn't going deep enough with people. And that's why I was getting bored. And my last career, I was a professional speaker and facilitator and workshop leader. And that one lasted longer and I liked it more, but still not enough. And I realized after I got the hand analysis, I liked it more because it was closer to purpose, but still not close enough to keep me really engaged.
So tell us, for our skeptical listeners and for, you know, the average person, first, what is the difference between a palm reading and also the scientific analysis of the hand? And also, how does it work? What do you do with it?
Okay, so the main difference is palm reading is based a lot on the intuitive level of the reader. And there's a lot of predictions with it. With scientific hand analysis, actually the lines in your hands mimic the neural pathways in your brain.
Something that's proven? There's like scientific research behind the pathways that you're talking about between the hands and the brain?
There is some. You can't really go, this pathway has to do with this marking. Because things change. And actually the founder of this system spent 40 years and analyzed over 30,000 hands, which is thousands more than any FDA approved drug out there. And the foreword to his book was written by a neurosurgeon from Stanford who'd been using scientific hand analysis with his patients. So he was definitely a believer. The accuracy is shocking. I don't know if I mentioned yet, but Forbes wrote about it because it's so accurate. So there's no predictions with it other than if somebody takes action, I don't care how good your life is now, if you take action on the information that's in your hands, your life will only get better.
Wow. And you say that with such certainty, so I can sense how much you believe in this. Now, before we dive a little bit deeper into the scientific hand reading, please share a little bit about your other talents, your background. You said you had three other main careers, so you were a speaker, workshop leader. What were the other two main areas of your work that you couldn't quite find your purpose in?
Yeah, and they lasted, you know, for several years. I did have fun and enjoyed it. Sales and marketing. You know, one, I was with a big corporation for my first job, and then the second one, I was head of sales and marketing for an international corporate identity graphics design firm. And that was fun for a while, but even then, I hit that wall. It's just like, oh, there's got to be something else. I'm just like...
Yeah. And I'm sure everything you've done along the way has helped with your purpose in today's world, because
exactly
the marketing, you know, those skills you can really use in all aspects of life.
That's right.
All right. So before we get into, again, the technical questions, I love to get to know my guests a little bit more. So here are some fun questions. What is one thing that most people don't know about you?
Well, certainly your listeners wouldn't know what a horse freak I am. So I have a horse and I ride almost every day.
Wow.
So that's really important to me. And it's like I have a meditation on every ride, because I get back and I don't remember what I was thinking about.
So, wow, I have heard that with horse owners and how you connect them. I haven't personally experienced it. I've ridden horses here and there, but I haven't had that one-on-one connection of, you know, my horse. But I've heard from other people, and I can only imagine, you know, how therapeutic that is too, if you're doing it on the daily basis.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
All right, awesome. The second question will be, without overthinking about it, if there was a magic wand and you can change one thing in the world, what would that thing be?
Oh, that everybody knows and lives in alignment with their innate purpose. The world would be a totally different place, because I think less than half of people do know their purpose and intentionally strive toward it.
The work that you do, is it, I guess my question is it because I'm a very analytical person as well. And, you know, you said the scientific word got to you. So now that's kind of what is intriguing me to ask this question. Is there almost like if A, then B, when you're analyzing the hen? So is there like certain number of options between lines or patterns that result to the purpose or that result to the answers that you give or the hen analyzer gives the client? Or is it, and because you did say it's not intuitional, so I'm just kind of curious the more science behind it. How does it work?
I think I know what you mean. And I certainly use my intuition. It just happens. But it's a learnable database. So okay. The whole thing is if A, then B. In other words, if you have this particular marking, it means this.
Okay.
Right?
So and how many different variations? Because we all have different fingerprints, right? So right. How many variations is there?
Yeah, we look at everything. And, you know, the ridges of your skin, the lines in your hands and your fingerprints are very important. But there are hundreds of options for the possibility of what your purpose might be. Hundreds of options. You don't get put in a box of four or one of nine or something like that. It's lots of options. There are some that are more common than others, but lots of options.
Excellent. How long does it take for you to analyze a hen?
So, for me to prepare for an analysis, 20 to 30 minutes. To describe the information and explain it to my client takes an hour, and I actually do it on Zoom, so I get hand prints. So I don't have anybody, I don't need to see them in person. I don't know most of my clients. I have clients in 12 countries because of word of mouth. So I get their hand prints and then prepare it in advance. And then we have an hour Zoom call so I've scanned in the prints. I can show them the markings that I'm talking about. And they get that recording and a summary report. And then another 30-minute call after they've watched the recording to answer questions and help them implement the information. Because if you don't use the information, what's the point?
Exactly. Yes. If we're not going to take action, there's no point. Well, I'm very intrigued to try it for myself, actually, because I have a good idea of what my purpose is, but I'm very curious to see what my reading is going to be. So I'll be in touch with you about that later on.
Awesome.
And maybe we can talk about it in another episode. But let's get back to our questions. So doing any type of work. So you've been in the professional work field and then you're doing your own thing now. Within those transitions and within your search for your purpose, I'm sure you had some challenges along the way. So for our listeners, it'll be very helpful if you can share one or two challenges that you had to face and what you did to overcome them.
Mm-hmm. So I was already an entrepreneur when I started my speaking business. I was an entrepreneur, but that was in the corporate world. So I kind of had a base to go from and built that pretty quickly. This was a completely different business and I moved to a different city. So I had to start from scratch and do a lot of networking. So building the business took several years and I did use a business coach, used several different types of resources to help me. So if you're stuck and you don't really have a good grasp of the steps to take to build your business, hire a good business coach. I mean, we're not supposed to figure everything out ourselves.
Oh, I love right? that. Yes, that's definitely helpful. And I think it's such a common mistake most newer entrepreneurs make is we want to do everything on our own. We want to save costs, but we're really wasting time and resources and money by doing that instead of investing a little bit in a good coach and just taking action that's going to result in something instead of trial and error, because a coach really has a lot more experience or has worked with a lot of different clients and has a lot more scenarios and Also a different set of eyes that is not so personally attached to your business. It helps for them to give you better advice.
Right. And I mean, you've got to vet the coach. There's good coaches and bad coaches, just like there's good and bad anything.
Yes.
So, you know, get the reviews and get the references and all that. But yeah, life changing.
Awesome. So since you also have a background in marketing and sales, because a lot of entrepreneurs have crazy ideas of businesses and they think maybe there isn't enough clients out there, or I don't know how to market it, I don't know where to start. So for you, your current business is very unique and very niche, right? And also a lot of people might be skeptical that it's fraud, you're just, you know, taking their money, saying whatever. I'm sure you have heard that before. So what have you done in order to build your clientele? And you did mention word of mouth, but starting out with such a new business, with out of the box thinking type of business in today's world too, what were some of the things that you did or you still do for marketing to build clientele?
Yes. So credibility is a big issue. So, which is kind of what you're referring to.
Yes.
And yes, I have been accused of doing voodoo and black magic. And I mean, it's crazy. Which actually this, I mean, well, anyway, don't get me down that rabbit hole. All right. Now I've talked myself out of the question you asked me. Oh, credibility. So I make sure when it's appropriate that people know that I have a corporate background and an MBA, because that automatically gives me credibility. Interestingly, not necessarily with hand analysis.
Yes,
but just
it has
as
nothing
a
to do with it.
Conservative, analytical, you know, solid person. And also the credibility of hand analysis, you know, that Forbes wrote about it, that the founder spent that much time building the database, that a neurosurgeon wrote the foreword to the book. And let me tell you, testimonials are worth their weight in gold. And I have dozens and dozens and dozens on my website of testimonials of clients. Yeah.
Excellent. I love that. So really just start the work, do what you do best, and ask for feedback, basically.
Yes. Ask for reviews and testimonials. Absolutely.
Excellent. Now, getting back to getting to know you a little bit better, I think I know your answer to this question already, but what does a happy and fulfilled life look like to you now?
Okay. To me.
To you, for yourself.
Yes, that I make sure, in other words, I intentionally make it happen that I love my life and love my work. So I have two different businesses, both in different ways are in alignment with my purpose. So I love them both. And I make sure that riding my horse is my number one priority, because it's so good for me, for my peace of mind, my soul. You know, I mean, I just... So I can't ride every day.
And that's the thing that you do for yourself first, which is for you riding your horse. So you choose that first as a priority always.
Yes. And I think this will be helpful with some of the questions that you've asked. I used to, several years ago, only allow myself to ride on weekends. I wouldn't let myself take time during the week because I had all these clients. And then I realized, no, that's not, you know, in alignment with my freedom, which is a big value of mine. So I changed my schedule, and clients could only start booking at noon. And then the mornings, I rode my horse. That's when I do my exercise. That's when I do my meditation and my gratitudes and my affirmations and all that. And when I did that, my business exploded. When I took care of myself first and said, well, clients, you can't book till noon. I have to do this, and I'll be able to show up better for you if I take care of myself. So when I did something I was afraid to do, let myself ride my horse on the weekdays, it paid off in spades.
Wow. And I'm a huge believer of that. And I can see how even just in yourself, your energy shift, and I could see why you showing up better for your clients would also build more clientele, right? Because for every single one of the clients you show up for, now you're ready, you're happy, you fulfilled yourself. So now you can fulfill the others. So I think along this past like 3 years, I've came to that realization. And until we really realize and accept our life and we create it how we want it to be and genuinely feel happy, we're not going to attract better and happier things into our lives. Mm-hmm. And I love, love, love that you do that for yourself every day. And that's your routine, you know? So my next question leading into that would be, what does your day-to-day look like? So if someone were to follow you around, since you are your own boss, you're an entrepreneur, you're managing two businesses, you have a nice balance for yourself. What does your typical day look like? Morning routine, night routine. We kind of covered your morning routine, but what does that look like in as a whole with your personal and work-life balance?
So first thing, I get my protein shake and I'll spend an hour, maybe more, with a combination of meditation, affirmations. I do an 11-minute breathing technique, gratitudes, make sure to write at least 5 things I'm grateful for from the day before. And I do that when I'm falling asleep at night as well, because gratitude, I mean, you know, one of my coaching certifications was law of attraction. So I get it.
Oh, there you go.
So I start that way. And then depending on what time I'm going to ride, sometimes I'll handle some email and then go on my ride. And that takes an hour and a half, 2 hours total, especially as I'm coming into the warmer weather, because I let my horse graze a little bit in the front yard before where she's boarded. And then usually I'll have a networking lunch, or I come back here and just have some nuts and dark chocolate, always dark chocolate, and do emails. My client appointments are always in the afternoons, and that could be with either of my businesses. You know, they get the same calendar to book appointments with, and, you know, various meetings. I'm in several networking groups that I love because I love connection and community. And then that's it. I'll stop around 6 o'clock and watch the weather. That's important when you ride a horse every day. And then just relax, just, you know, veg out in front of the TV, read. I'm always reading something, and have a nice dinner and just spoil myself.
Awesome. I love, love, love that. I love the balance you have found to support the lifestyle that you found your purpose in. I really do wish everybody would get there. Like, that's part of my mission, my dream, to have people do what they love in order for them to be happier, because that's what's going to create a happier world, right?
Right.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about your pivotal moment, right? So you were in the corporate world, you're doing fine, but you felt like something was missing, like you needed to find your purpose. Can you talk a little bit more about what that feeling was? How did you know that you needed to make a change? Because I'm sure that wasn't easy, right? To take that jump into having kind of like the security of a salary, or even like your daily tasks of the security of knowing you're going to wake up, go to work, come home. Can you talk a little bit about that experience?
Sure. I mean, especially the speaking business, because that was entrepreneurial. So no salary, although I had built it up to a nice business, well into 6 figures. And I just got bored and did not want to, I wasn't motivated to create new topics that would, that I could be able to sell and would motivate me to learn something new. I just wasn't motivated to do it. And as my heart pulled away from the business, because it was just like, meh, so did the revenue. So I was just in this downward spiral. And something I didn't mention, I didn't know what else to do, so I just kept doing it, but it wasn't going anywhere. And the income was diving. And then both of my parents passed away within 3 months of each other. And it was just a real you know, bam, made me really wake up and say, you know what? Life is short. I need to quit farting around and figure out what it is I really want to do. And that's when I really started thinking about purpose and realizing that could be the key, because I didn't know what my purpose was. And then I started that search. Yep. I really believed the accuracy that was mentioned. I mean, the Forbes article wasn't out yet. The Forbes article is about me in hand analysis, so that wasn't out when I was searching this. But when I was doing that purpose search, I went down a couple of, you know, other things said find your purpose, and I would tried a couple of other directions that didn't work out for me. And I know there was a, there's a lot of retreats and workshops where that promise that you'll come out of it with your purpose. Here's what my concern was, and I'm sure it works for a lot of people because they keep doing these workshops, but it didn't work for me. I didn't trust it. I'm like, if I'm so confused about what my purpose is, I don't trust what I came up with. You know, and what does that mean? It just was very kind of general. So I guess
part of your intuition too, that's kind of how I like, I probably kind of hear you, you know, when you're saying that it's probably something in your intuition just told you that was not it.
It just wasn't good enough. You know, it just didn't feel right. So yeah, it probably was intuitive. And the other couple of things that I tried that were purpose-based just didn't work for me. That's all I can say. And now I can't even remember what they were, but I just remember it was probably on the search 3 months before I ran across that teleseminar about scientific hand analysis. And by then I was open to anything. So that was number one, is that I was very open to it. And then once I saw the scientific, it just kind of gave me permission to go, okay, this is credible.
Explore it.
This is reliable. And the person who was leading the teleseminar, she as well was very credible and ended up being one of my main teachers as I was studying hand analysis, because I'm as highly certified as possible. There are four levels and I am the highest level, and I'm a master, which is just the sheer number of hand analysis.
Oh, wow.
That I've collected. Yeah. There's not many masters. Well,
congratulations on that.
Thank
I'm very excited to get my hand analyzed. All right. So let's talk about your book. So you got inspired to also write a book about this, right? It's called Twists, Turns, and Truths. Can you tell us what inspired you to write the book about it? And also, what are the key takeaways if somebody was to grab and go through your book?
Absolutely. The subtitle is The Life and Lines of a Master Scientific Hand Analyst. So they are stories of my life. So it's a little bit of a memoir, and how the characteristics of me in that story show up in my hands. Good and bad. Good and bad characteristics. And I don't even like to use the word bad. So challenges. There were a lot of stories in my life that I felt could help people. Just what I learned from them, what happened that people could identify with and resonate with. And it's not a primer to learn hand analysis, but you do learn a lot about it, because I show a lot of pictures of my hand and the marking that I'm talking about and why that marking was involved in this particular story. So if people like stories and autobiographies, let me tell you, it's pretty revealing.
All right.
It's kind of scary putting that out.
Yeah. I could only imagine. Now, you did mention it's kind of scary putting that out. For people who out there want to put content out, if it's a book, if it's a video, if it's a blog, whatever it may be, what advice would you give to them to kind of take that first step?
Just start writing. Get the content out. And because you can use content in all of those, in all those types of media that you mentioned. A lot of people want to write a book. The first thing I did, Yegi, was I took a weekend retreat in Sedona, which wasn't such a bad place to go to, that is called Write Your Book in a Weekend. And 94% of this guy's clients get their first draft finished in 3 days.
Wow.
And it's a mix of spirituality principles and discipline. And I got my first draft done. Now, it took me a year to rewrite it and get it really done and ready to go and published. But that helps.
You just got a great timeline. A year is still a great timeline.
It is. And you got to write. You just have to be disciplined. And then, like, if you write a book, then you've got blog content for the rest of your life. I mean, really. And or just write blogs, write little pieces, and then those you can put together and expand on to write a book if you really want to write a book. But just start writing and make it a discipline. You know, I took 2 hours every Friday afternoon is what I did.
Put it on your calendar to actually plan for it and not just say, okay, I'm going to get to it when I have extra time. So actually purposefully plan for it and get started.
Exactly, Yegi. Exactly.
Awesome. Yeah. So my next question to you is about your you fully like writing the book and then sharing your stories. Within those stories, you said you shared lessons and people can really have some takeaways. Can you share one specific story if there's like a shorter version of it for our audience and what you learned or what they can learn from that story?
I have some about different horses in my life and things that happened. But the main takeaway I want people to know, nobody is perfect. Thank God. I mean, how boring this place would be. Ew. I mean, it's our, you know, what we consider to be our faults are what endear us to others. So one of the main messages I like to communicate with Hand Analysis and with this book is self-love is so hard, and it's so important to love ourselves, faults and all, and just embrace it all. And that is intimacy with ourselves. And without intimacy with ourselves, we can't create it with anybody else, because if I don't have an orange, I can't give somebody an orange.
Yeah,
so absolutely. It's that same concept. But it was, I wanted to say, hey, here's how I screwed this up, and here's how these characteristics didn't help me in this situation, and here's how these characteristics did help me in this situation. And I mean, there's even a chapter on abuse when I was young. This is terrible because it's been 5 years since this was published, 4.5. But it was more what I needed to learn about myself.
While you were writing the book?
Yeah. That particular story, how I needed to forgive myself. Even though, you know, when you get older, you realize, how could it have been my fault? I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, I was 7.
Yeah.
But anyway,
Unless you go through it, you don't fully understand. And I've talked to people who've been through abuse, and it's similar for most people feel like it's their fault, and it really isn't. But unless they go through it, they heal from it, you don't really realize that. So it's definitely something I'm happy a lot more people are open to talking about, because there is so much that goes on that we're ashamed, or we think that it's our fault, and we don't heal from it because we don't talk about it. So I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm glad you've written about it for you to be able to kind of help other people realize that if they did go through a similar situation, it is not their fault.
You know, Yegi, that's such a most important point, because what happens is we block out, we feel shame, you mentioned that word, because we think it's our fault, so we block it out and block the shame, but other stuff gets blocked too. Important stuff, things that we're meant to feel passionate about and make part of our lives, and we just shove all that down and then think we don't deserve it or that we're not good enough and really get off track. So I really appreciate you bringing that up. Shame is, oh, it's so
Yes.
hard. It's just so hard on us.
Yes, and for our listeners out there, I'm a big believer of self-love, self-care, healing, and there are so many amazing people, coaches out there that can help us, therapists, professionals that can help us get through those. And sometimes we may be having a certain issue in life, and we don't realize that it might be from a past trauma or a childhood trauma or something that's really blocking us. So I'm a big believer in working on ourselves. So I advise our listeners, of anybody that might think, oh, maybe I need to get some help, definitely seek it. There is a lot of good resources and a lot of good coaches that can help you get to the next level. And I think a good indicator, from what I notice in observing people too, is if you feel like you're just unhappy or angry about something, it's a good indicator that something's off, right? So definitely try to do some self work in order to figure it out. And everybody is different. Everybody's stories are different. Their problems are different. But there's definitely healing no matter what horrible things that you've been through. And I think what I've realized too, the most successful and the most inspiring and the most wonderful people out there have faced really horrible things in their lives. So if they can get through it and they can make an amazing life for them, themselves, so can everybody else. So that's kind of what I wanted to share about that topic too.
Perfect.
I hope you agree.
Perfect.
But we are running a little bit short on time. So before we close, is there any or I guess I love to ask this question too for our listeners. If you can, so you went through this journey of finding your purpose and living it and living your happy, fulfilled life, because now you have your balance and you're living your purpose in alignment. If you can go back all the way back to when you first started your career, let's say out of college, was there, anything that you would have done differently back then, or what are some of the things you learned from your journey that you could advise other people to do today?
Well, if I had known what my purpose was, I definitely would have done things differently. But not knowing that, not really. I mean, are there things I regret? That's a really harsh word.
No, I don't like that question. I do
Yeah, I don't
believe
like that
everything leads us.
word. I've had a divorce. That wasn't fun. So, would I have chosen differently if I had been more knowledgeable? Of course. But I was on a track and generally happy and successful.
But
So
with the knowledge you have today for our listeners, what's one thing you would tell them that they
oh.
could do in order to avoid some of the heartaches or troubles that you've had?
Get your purpose, however you find it. There's lots of options. And I do have people that get hand analysis for their college age kids, because like they've spent all this money and they like, oh, I don't want to do that. I'm like, okay, well, let's figure it out. But But again, the purpose isn't a job description. You know, it's the concept behind your ideal work. But if they're thinking about something, I can tell somebody if it's in alignment or not. So you've got people just get off on the wrong track and they just follow their noses. But it's really important to love what you do. You do too. We spend too much of our time, of our lives, working. So make sure you love it. Make it happen.
Yes.
Keep trying to figure it out until you get there.
That's actually what I would love for everybody to do, is love what they do. All right. So last question before we close is, for our listeners, what action steps would you say they could take? Let's say they figured out their purpose, however they got there. So they either know or they experienced the analysis and they know their purpose. What are the first few action steps they can take to take their lives towards that purpose or that alignment?
Well, think about what kind of work would express that purpose. And there's lots of different ways to do that. I mean, you've got to do pro and con lists, write down where your joy comes from, what people have said about you that are your strengths or how you've helped them. You know, we need to write it down. You got to get it out of your head. And anything that, you know, work elements of jobs that you had that you didn't like, elements of jobs you had that you did like. So you're trying to put a puzzle together.
I see.
Right? And I do want to make a special offer for your listeners before we go.
Yes, this is a great time to do that. So if you can please share that. I'm sure a lot of people are dying to reach out to you and figure out their purpose. Because, see, I wish I knew about this a long time ago as well. I struggled a lot to find my purpose. Although, like you, I don't ever regret anything I went through. I think it has built who I am today. But I do remember doing so much research, trying to figure out my purpose or what I'm supposed to do. And I still don't know until today if I'm exactly on the right path. I do have a good intuition that I am, but it's really nice to know that there are other tools out there to kind of reassure you or guide you. So I'm sure a lot of our listeners would benefit from that. So if you can please share your offer and then where they can find you and any last words of encouragement.
Oh, I'd be happy to. So yeah, scientific hand analysis, there aren't that many of us. Not as many
and
as
you said master.
And I'm a master and there's very few masters. But the average price of a full hand analysis, and I'm the only one that I know of that gives that extra 30-minute call, because I think it's important. I want people to use the information. And when I'm doing a hand analysis, I'm talking, you start thinking about how what I just said applies to your life, and I'm still talking. So it's hard to take it all in. It's like a fire hose. So I think that second call is really important, and you get recordings of both. Anyway, so the average price of a master is $497. And for your listeners, I'd like to offer $100
off US that. Dollars.
So yes, 100 US off that. So it would be total $397 US dollars. So a good deal for all that information.
Excellent. And is there a promo code? Where can they find, or how do they reach out for a reading?
Probably the easiest thing to do is go to my website, which is Purpose Whisperer, like a horse whisperer.
Yes. Purpose and we'll Whisperer. Link that below.
Yeah. Two ERs at the end, purposewhisperer.com. And on every page, there's a contact Jane or talk to Jane, or, and they can email me through my website and I can give them, it's a PayPal link for that special price. It's the only way they can get it if they get it directly
Perfect.
From me.
So go ahead and mention that you heard it on the Yegi podcast and she will honor it. Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome. Thank you again so much. So your last words of encouragement before we close.
All I can say is that I firmly believe the only way to the deeper and more consistent joy and fulfillment that everybody craves, whether they know it or not, the only way to that deeper joy and fulfillment is by living in alignment with your purpose.
I love that. That's so beautiful.
There's other ways to find purpose, I'm sure. I just didn't find the right ones for me until hand analysis. So it's not the only solution, but I just know it's a good one.
But you do have to find your purpose no matter how in mm-hmm. order to feel fulfilled and happy. And yes. Actually, I really do believe that, because at the end of the day, a lot of people think it's money and a certain lifestyle or material things like the house, the car. That's the initial thing people think of when they think of success. But very shortly, once you get what you want to get, a lot of people do realize that it's not enough. They either want more, they're still not fulfilled. Yeah. So that's why there's a lot of billionaires and millionaires and very successful people who are committing suicide or are unhappy. So I really am a big believer in finding your purpose, your alignment, or mainly doing what you love to find joy out of it, to be yeah. happy. So I'm very, very excited that we got to talk about this, and I hope our listeners got something out of it. But until next time, Jane, thank you so, so much for your time again, and all my best to you and all the work that you do for us.
Thank you, Yegu. Awesome, awesome interview. I really enjoyed it, and I think hopefully that your listeners will enjoy it as well.
I'm sure they will. Thank you again. Have a good evening.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Please rate and review this podcast. Follow and engage with us on social media under the Yegu Project. And if you're interested in being a guest, email info@theyegiproject.com. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.